This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further, literally. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards are actually worth the annual fee and which just look shiny, how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships, when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices, and more. So travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Today's guest turned years of life on the road as a corporate sales rep into a points and miles powerhouse, earning elite status, planning group trips that double as points machines, and even using real estate investments to fund luxury travel. And when it came time for his wedding and honeymoon, he and his wife flew Qatar Q Suites, stayed at high-end resorts, and saved nearly $20,000 using nothing but smart card strategies. In this episode, Ross Alcorn of Itinerary Boss pulls back the curtain on how you can do the same, whether it's for work travel, group getaways, your next home purchase, or even a once-in-a-lifetime honeymoon.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. My name is DeAndre Koch. Quick reminder for those watching this on YouTube that we do have our audio only quick hits every Friday. That's going to be our up-to-date news in the world of travel and points and miles. And for those listening to this in audio, that we do post every single episode in its entirety to YouTube as well. We have a fantastic host today. I want to welcome Ross Alcorn to the show. He's the host of the World Travel Made Easy podcast, a plethora of knowledge in the world of points and miles, and just a great guy in general. Ross, welcome to the show.
Hey, DeAndre, thanks for having me on and really looking forward to providing your audience a bunch of value and hopefully a couple laughs.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it as well. So let's just have a little bit of background, right? I always like to start that way. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you live? What do you do for a living? And then how did you get into the points and miles world in general?
Yeah, so I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I actually have a company called Itinerary Boss. So I focus on working with creative entrepreneurs and business owners on helping them maximize their points and miles, leveraging their day-to-day business expenses. And I was a sales rep in corporate America for about 10 plus years, and then decided to be crazy enough this past April to go all in on my travel company and helping other people leverage those points and miles. How did I get into that? From being a sales rep, right? I was on the road. I started to learn the benefits of, you know, hotel, airlines, and then, you know, being able to use personal credit cards, corporate credit cards, seeing kind of the misconceptions, myths of kind of all of that, including status and things like that. So that's what really got me into this. And then also we'll get into it more, but just planning group trips for all my friends. That started back in 2015, led to annual snowboarding trips, led to different trips over to Europe every year, and then just became the travel guy and started getting asked kind of like everyone does, right? Started getting asked the same exact questions. And I was like, you know what? I really should help people. And that's what brings a smile to my face. So here we are.
That's awesome. And I understand those questions as well, because I feel like the questions that we're commonly getting asked always are something about points and miles, credit cards, what should I do in this space? Which honestly, as an advisor, what attracted me to this world was the fact that clients were always asking me like, hey, what credit card should I get? I want to travel more, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what allowed me to go down the rabbit hole on this. But then also, once you start being known as a person loving to travel, the question people always ask is, where's your next trip? Where you're going? How are you doing it? So I completely get that 100%. So Ross, when you first started to unpack this world of status and points and rewards, what were some of the first elite statuses you earned, or was it purely through points that allowed you to kind of elevate your travels? You know, how did this change your travel experience altogether?
Yeah. So when I first started traveling, you know, I was a sales rep, and it was mainly learning, you know, getting started out with the different loyalty programs. So just signing up for free, I think that's one thing I always recommend. If you're just getting started out, sign up for free, because, right, you can stay at Hilton, Marriott, Hyatt, you know, others. And also just thinking about where is your hub for where you're flying out of. So that's what I did. Is I was living in North Virginia, right outside of Dulles at the time. And I was driving, I was staying at about hotels 4 to 5 times a week. So just starting to rack up those. Also, I got my first credit card in 2014, and then got the Capital One Venture rewards in 2017. So compounding those things and really realizing, okay, if you stay here, you start to get gold, platinum, those statuses. And then also when starting to translate those into personal trips, realizing, oh, I can get some free nights. That's what got me started out. And then that morphed into using personal credit cards, paying for group trips, things like that, that then got me into the weeds of the fun game we call points and miles.
And I've heard from other individuals, and I think you made a great point when you said just being added to the loyalty program is huge, because I've heard from many people over the years, and they're similar. They work at companies or have worked at companies where their flights were paid for, their hotels were paid for, they were traveling often. And oftentimes, because it was just paid for on the corporate credit card, they never really thought to just add themselves to, you know, Hilton Honors or Marriott Bonvoy or whatever it may be, and lost out on so many points. So I think that's a fantastic tip on just anyone in general, whether you're flying or traveling for work or not, just adding yourself to all these programs, especially as you're booking and looking for these different things, can be helpful. And so I think that's a fantastic tip. And we're going to get into the group travel aspect next. But before we do that, any other mistakes or lessons that you would share or tips for someone that's trying to earn points and rewards from work travel, or whether it's because they work with a large corporate company or they just travel for work themselves through their own business?
Yeah, great point. And so I was in two different situations, right? I was, like you had just mentioned, I was traveling a lot for work. I had the corporate green Amex card because, you know, I was part of a bigger company, but I signed up for those different loyalty programs because luckily I had a lot of people who had been road warriors for 25, 30 years who was like, hey, sign up for these. I don't think they knew exactly what they were doing because none of them stayed at Hyatt. That's the one lesson that I wish I learned. I didn't realize the value of Hyatt until about 5 years ago, but I was staying in Hilton and Marriott. So I think that's really important. Yeah, those stays led to 3 free nights when we were over in Germany for Oktoberfest as well as for Berlin. So I was able to cover 6 nights for free with a couple of my buddies going over there. That was on the corporate side. But when you're traveling for, you know, I worked also at a startup for about 1.5 years, they let us put everything on our personal card. So I had just gotten the reserve and I don't book through the portal personally, but for that, I was like, if I can get 5 to 10 times the points on my flights, hotels, as well as rental cars, like, let's go. So I booked everything through the portal there because I was getting those points multipliers. One thing that I do wish, and I wasn't at this company long enough, but if I was at a company for a while that was letting me do this, I would have taken advantage of getting a hotel co-branded card. And if I was staying at a Hilton, Marriott, you know, Hyatt, whichever one of those, getting that and then putting that card on any expenses when I was staying there, because, right, sometimes you're getting water, stuff from the snack bar, you're getting coffee in the morning, breakfast, you know, sometimes you're getting beers at the, kind of depending on, obviously, stay within the parameters of what your company expense compliance is. But those are just some strategies where you can start to bring a 1 or 2 card stack into play. And that was before the Venture X was out. So that would be another option too, if you wanted to have those. But just having one premium card to book your flights, hotels, you can do it through the portal. You don't have to. And then having a hotel co-branded card, that's kind of how you could maximize those if you want to keep it super simple.
Fantastic advice, Ross. And I think you added a lot of tidbits there that are just helpful for individuals to know, okay, how can I keep this? How can I grow in this space, but also start simple, which I absolutely love. Now, I want to move on because we talked about group trips. And I know when we're talking offline, you and I have a lot of commonality, a lot of similarities. Both love to snowboard. I actually also have planned group snowboarding trips. So I'm really curious, what's your strategy in general around group trips? How did that enable you the opportunity to be able to earn and acquire more points and miles? Can you kind of share the strategy there? Because that's obviously something that I think is really applicable if you're someone that may be coming out of college earlier in your career. Of course, this work for anybody, obviously, but this is a great way for someone that maybe is younger to have a huge boost in points and miles outside of just welcome bonuses and, you know, new card offers.
Yeah, no, great question. And this is really what got me started. I would say, obviously, the work travel helped with the loyalty programs, but I think just understanding the power of travel, the memories it creates, you know, it's not all about cost savings. It's really what you mentioned, right? It's planning those group snowboarding trips. I think really no one in their 20s who was a guy wanted to plan a trip and have to deal with their other friends and trying to get, you know, figure out, okay, who's going to book this? Who's going to pay for this? So for me, since I already was, you know, really good at, for my sales job, building out territories for the Mid-Atlantic, I understood the logistics that went into all of this, and it kind of came second nature to me. So for me, I just went on one snowboarding trip and was like, people started hitting me up, hey, I want to go out west. So that then led to our first trip. When I was getting ready to book that trip, I did open up the Capital One Venture because I was traveling a lot, was able to earn that welcome bonus, was able to then, right, put all the Airbnbs on that, was able to then, you know, if we did anything like snowmobiling before other people knew the value of points and miles, I was also able to get the groceries, right? The dinner. So I was racking up all those. Unfortunately, over the years, people started to get smarter and they started to get the Amex Gold. They started to get the others. So when we got to the grocery store, everyone was kind of boxing each other out to, you know, slap their card down. But that really taught me the value of, okay, this is how much I can acquire from a points and miles standpoint, but also that put a huge smile on my face because every single year it was like, all right, where are we going next year? And then we just started to dot out where in North America has the Epic or Icon Pass. I think one strategy for people who are planning a snowboarding trip is look at, if you are trying to go to multiple destinations, for example, Jackson Hole, Big Sky, like look at what is on the Icon Pass, look at what's on the Epic Pass. If you're going to Colorado, you know, we've paired Vail, Breck, Beaver Creek, and Keystone because all those are on the Epic Pass. So there's some strategies around that depending on where you want to go. But if you're in your early 20s, just, I mean, plan the trip because it's going to bring so many good memories that, you know, you're going to talk about, and it just becomes an annual tradition. I think the most rewarding one that I got was when I planned it over to Europe. We went over to London, Madrid, Amsterdam, and Barcelona for our first trip. And I booked all Airbnbs, all tours. I think I got the flights too on that one. So it was like, I was getting a lot of points there. So I pretty much covered everything for everyone. Then the next year, I think people got their own flights. But I mean, that's a ton of money. And you're just racking up those points. And depending on where you're at in your journey, like that's a great way if you aren't spending a lot of money on expenses. If you just maybe have rent or you just have like small bills, that's one, a great way to start building credit. Obviously, if you're paying off the cards. And also getting a lot of points and hitting those welcome offers.
No, I think that's fantastic. And again, we have a lot of similarities because, you know, you being in North Carolina, me being in Virginia, we were only a few hours apart. The big appeal is, yes, let's go out west because what we can ride here in the East Coast is not really that great within driving distance, at least. So if you're going to fly, might as well fly somewhere pretty amazing. And so I know some of the early ski trips that I booked very similarly with a Chase Sapphire Reserve, and I might've gotten a $10,000 Airbnb for eight of us or something like that. But that $10,000 charge A could be easily a signup bonus on a card, but also you're getting 3X, that's 30,000 Chase points right there from just the Airbnb, and everyone's reimbursing you
you for that. Which brings me to my next question. Ross, I don't know if you analytical guys, so I don't know if you kind of use your own just spreadsheets or whatnot, but is there any particular app or tool that you use to help you keep track of the expenses, collecting the reimbursements? I know there's one that I've used that I found some value with and I'm happy to share, but I'm curious, what have you used to kind of help keep track of this? Because I know someone listening to this could be saying or thinking like, okay, yeah, this sounds great and easy in theory, but I don't want to have to track down getting Venmo'd from 8 different people. And what if someone backs out? There's layers to this, obviously, but I'm curious, how did you navigate that side?
I wish that ChatGPT Pro was available back 10 years ago. That would be my answer now, but I just started out with simple Google Sheets, Google Docs, right? And first, it's always just, here's some dates that work, you know, getting confirmations from everyone, because I think the biggest thing you don't want to do is have someone who's wishy-washy, who's going to back out, because that puts a damper on your trip. So I think it's getting those dates, getting everyone on board, and then outlining to make it simple for them. Here's the cost of Airbnb. Here's the cost of the ticket. Here's, you know, ballpark cost of what this is going to look like. Here's the dates we're going to go. And also, I was planning these trips a lot of times for people who had limited budgets, who are teachers. So like thinking through that too, and, you know, understanding the dynamics of the group, because you can't say, oh, this is going to be a $10,000 trip for everyone when someone's like, hey, my budget's $3,000, right? So it's kind of understanding those type of things. But I just used Google Sheets, Google Docs, and just made it super simple and outlined it. The beautiful part about that now is I can literally be looking at my screen, have ChatGPT up, do advanced voice mode, and just talk it through it and say, hey, you know, reformat this into columns, right? Add these dates in, and it'll do it all for me. And obviously now with some new agent stuff going on, like pretty much you'll have your own assistant to do it. But I would just say, start there. And ChatGPT is, you know, one of your best friends, and whatever bank you use, a lot of the times the app there can kind of break that down. And yeah, just using Venmo was pretty easy. So, but being able to share that document with people, so then they know like right off the bat, hey, here's when the date is, that type of stuff.
Perfect, Ross. So I absolutely love that. And actually, on our side of things, or I should say with the trips that I booked, again, it was Airbnb. It was getting the confirmation. It was always getting, okay, who's that core 4 or 5 people that you know are not going to back out pending like an emergency last minute, but everyone understands like, hey, if I'm committed to this amount, I'm committed to it, whether I go or not. And then you can expand the group beyond there. Most recently, this year was the first year that I evolved that to, hey, we're going to be at the Park Hyatt Beaver Creek. Everyone can get their own flights, their own hotel rooms, whether you have globalist status, you use the Amex Fine Hotels and Resorts. I feel like we all got a little bit older now, and friends have also listened to me in Points and Miles, so they all kind of got the strategy. So it was a nice evolution from Airbnb. But I think what you talked through about having a spreadsheet, having some sort of system is important. Now, I know in the past, an app that I'll throw out there for people to use if they are considering something like this is an app called Splitwise that I just kind of found when I was trying to figure out the best way to do this. And they're not sponsoring this podcast by any means. I just found them to be super helpful, is that you can actually go in and put in everyone in the group. You can put in what their expenses were. So if I covered the Airbnb and flights or whatever it may be, but someone else got all the groceries, someone else paid for gas or lift tickets, you can put in everyone's expenses, and then it will tabulate the breakdown of who needs to Venmo who and in what amount in a very easy to understand way. So I found that as the most simplistic way, because I could share that with everyone. Everyone can see it, and everyone can say, okay, I've got a Venmo Ross $200 and DeAndre $2,000, and you know, all that would get passed through, then everyone was made whole in the right way. So I found that to be super helpful. So for any listeners out there looking at the best way to kind of do group splitting of charges for trips, especially, great app to use there.
Well, I love what you're doing now too, going like to Points and Miles hotels, because sometimes too, as you get older, right, people start to have kids. Like, I feel like we're hitting that phase of life where schedules get tighter. So I may want to go right on snowboarding for 7 days and, you know, do 5 days and have some rest days. Someone else may say, hey, with my limited schedule or PTO or this, like we only can swing 4. So that gives you the flexibility to, hey, here's where we're staying. It's this many points on this date, like us being, you know, the people who lead the group and like know the point stuff. It's just like, hey, this is how many it is. And if you want to do that, like we can make it work, adding that level of flexibility, because yeah, not everyone now with different schedules can do kind of what you could do with Airbnb. And you're also right, like you said, you're maximizing free nights, you're maximizing getting additional points and everything.
Yeah, 100%. And I was concerned at first because I liked the Airbnb vibe, right? Everyone's kind of wakes up in the morning, can go into the shared living space, make coffee, sit by the fire. Oftentimes, at least half of my group were other financial advisors as well. So we would be getting some client work done perhaps. And as we're sitting by the fire, also because of the time zone difference, our office, our teams were already at work while we were, you know, getting ready for the morning. And I was concerned that that was going to be an issue if we all are at a Park Hyatt, for instance. But I think it was fantastic because no one had any issues. There was no booking concerns or reimbursement concerns. There were still obviously great bars and restaurants for people to connect at. And so really, it didn't change the vibe at all. So I highly recommend if anyone has been in kind of our position in the past, if you want to elevate and still do a group trip. And it also wasn't like a group booking. I didn't coordinate with Hyatt on everyone. It was just, hey, book these dates. There's still dates available. There's still points availability. Take advantage or just pay cash either way. And it worked out fantastic. So I love how we've all kind of elevated over the years. Haven't done the overseas yet. We've joked about, I think there's a Hyatt or at least a Park Hyatt in Japan that's on a ski slope. So we've talked through taking this thing overseas. We'll see what happens there. But my Points and Miles friends are like, all right, where are we going next? And yes, can it be in the Swiss Alps or in Japan? So we'll see if that's going to be a follow-up episode next year.
Hey, well, if you go, let me know, because those are two on my list. Japan is at the top of my list to go get some Japao, and the Swiss, I mean, that's, yeah. I like going to a lot of those places. I don't know if all the friends will want to do that. So let me know, man. That sounds like a good time.
Hey, everyone. Quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode.
Ross, I want to transition because, again, something else we have in common is real estate. And the fact that we have real estate assets, investment properties, those type of things. So I want to dive a little bit into your real estate angle. And how are you using credit cards? How are you using points and miles strategies when it comes to your real estate, not inventory, but your portfolio?
Yeah, for sure. So I think it's twofold, right? So I'll start out on the more simpler side. So you have people who are going to be, right, you're buying your first home, you're doing some house hacking, you know, you can't open business cards there specifically. So anytime we do that, we look at, okay, what's our budget for furnishing the property? And depending on where we're at and where interest rates are, you know, this is what's worked for us. This is not financial advice, but where those type of things are at, we then decide, okay, what makes the most sense to get card wise. So in the past we've done Chase Freedom Unlimited because, you know, that's a 0% interest. That's a no annual fee. For example, last year when we purchased a home, we also had just gotten engaged. We were in the process of planning a wedding. So like having all of that and just, you know, bought the home with the down payment. So it's like having all of those expenses all at once, having that 0% interest for a certain amount of time, depending on what the offer is, gives you some of that breathing room. So that's one that I like from a personal standpoint. Also, you know, in the past, if we've done another card, like say, for example, I did that one. If my wife did one in the past, you could then put that money into a high yield savings account and earn, you know, depending on what the interest rates are. So that's another strategy we've done from a personal standpoint. If you have the cash and you're like, hey, I'm about to spend a lot of money and I'm going to hit a big welcome bonus, getting a card that aligns with those spending. So just depending on that situation from a personal side. And also not doing that before you close on the home, waiting until after is very key. And obviously when you're talking to a lender, they will tell you that, but that's a good strategy. If you aren't opening a new card, say you don't fall into that bucket because you opened one recently, or you just don't want to open one, looking at the card that you have that might have different multipliers for, you know, places like Wayfair, Home Depot, Thumbtack, like other places that are around furnishings. Those are some strategies on the personal side. From the business side, if you're buying investment properties, our go-tos are the Chase Business Unlimited Inc., or the cash, just because, you know, I like the no annual fee. I like the 0% interest, especially when you're doing furnishings. And again, right, if you're running a business and you want to put it in another high yield savings or have an emergency fund, that's just another great strategy that we like to do. And then you can run those through, right? We do medium, long-term and short-term. So just depending on your strategy, you can use that to pay for the furnishings, your everyday expenses, interior designers, cleaners, photographers, you know, general contractors. One thing we ran into when we first started was, you know, we were doing a rehab where we were doing cabinets, flooring, you know, painting, and, you know, the bill wasn't cheap. And the guy said, hey, I don't take credit card. So for us, we're thinking, okay, we got this welcome offer we got to hit. What's a strategy that we can use? So we dove into different softwares that I know, DeAndre, you talk about a lot on here. Zill Money's one of them. Melio's another one where, yes, you're going to get hit with 2.9, I think it is, most of the time. You're going to get hit with that. But usually the cost, right, if you're getting a welcome offer or if you're just getting those points, it's going to significantly outweigh those as well, the interest fees. So those are some strategies, business and personally, that I've used in the past.
Yeah, 100%. I talk about this often, as you mentioned, but I think this is a simple math equation. And sometimes people get their head wrapped around, why would I pay a 3% fee if I only have a card that earns me 1 or 1X or 2X points, right? That the math doesn't work there. Now, 100%, if you're getting a sign-up bonus, just the lift in points from the bonus and the value of points from the bonus can make that worthwhile. But on the other hand, the redemption value or the amount you redeem the points for can make that all the worthwhile as well. That's why I won't even hesitate or think twice around a 3% credit card fee for a vendor payment or anything like that if I know that I'm using a card that's going to get me at least 1.5x. So whether that's, for me, typically it's the Chase Business Unlimited card or an Amex Platinum over $5,000 charge is 1.5x as well, because I know my average redemption rate with points in an average year is somewhere around 6x of value. So as long as I'm getting close to two, more than two on my points in general, like that math is going to check out. If I pay a 3% fee, I'm getting 1.5x. 1.5x times 2, 3%, I'm getting that value from redeeming, which is key. And then also, again, not going into the financial planning or advice aspect, but a lot of times these additional charges and fees, especially if you're operating under a business, maybe like I have an investment property LLC, these are tax deductible expenses, the additional fees and charges. So I like how you brought that up, because these are things that I think people get weary about. But if you understand how to play the game and understand just the math of it, it can have a lot of value.
100%. Just from listening to your podcast, I've learned different strategies. That's one of my favorite things we were talking before, is just listening to other people within the space, because everyone has different strategies and you can learn. And that's the beautiful part about, you know, having a platform like this, is you can learn from not just having one-on-one calls. You can learn on the go. So that's definitely some advice, is just listen to DeAndre, other people, you know, in the space, and take different strategies from them. And I talk to the people I serve, or business owners, creative entrepreneurs. And a lot of the times the business owners who are running, whether it's a real estate or real estate services business, and even people who have payroll, they're just using debit cards. And, you know, when I sit down with them, I just map out, okay, how are you spending this? And their first thing is, you know, I can't use a credit card for general contractors. I can't use a credit card for payroll or anything like that. And then when we start to peel back the onion, the cost savings, just their jaws dropping of like, oh my gosh, I feel embarrassed. But it's like, no, no one taught you this. So it's educating them on, here's the cost savings of all of these type of strategies. But yeah, just keeping it simple. I mean, that's personal and business, just depending on where you're at. Just think of what's most important to you, where your budget is, that, you know, those type of stuff. And from there, it'll just compound over time.
Absolutely. And when it comes to what you said, I think it's really key to pull this back out just for anyone that might be newer in the home buying phase. You don't want to open a credit card and or charge a large amount to a credit card before you've closed on a home. Your mortgage, your lender is going to tell you this, but I really want to hit home on this one point. Now, there's two aspects to it. And I think it depends, of course, on a lot of different areas and net worth and assets, because I've heard different things from some of my own lenders that I've worked with myself, or that I have as clients, or that have worked with my clients, that there's a difference also between just having an open credit card and having a balance that has made your debt to income ratio not ideal. And so sometimes it's like, okay, I have a card, I haven't used it. There's nothing wrong with having a card with an open $20,000 line on it. But if you're excited for this new home, your close date is in 10 days, and you go and charge, you know, $10,000 worth of furniture to that card, that can cause problems. So I want to make sure to throw that out there to any listeners that are newer in the home buying phase. Do not do that. You can really mess up your home buying and your closing time.
100%. And as you start to buy more properties, and if you do house hack, DTI does start to come into play. So make sure, right, that you're always, you know, if you are starting to look at those type of things, not having really any balances. Also, I mean, we had to look at our overall profile just based on, you know, different things. So as you start to purchase more, thinking through those things is very key. So that's what I definitely want to harp on, not spending money before you close and waiting until after.
Absolutely. And then the only other thing I'll add as well for those home buyers, whether it's your first time buying a home or you do have a home already, back in episode 81, we had Kelly Halpin on, the CEO of Mesa Homeowner Card, which is a credit card that you can get that will help you earn points that are transferable on your mortgage as well. And those do have multipliers on things like Thumbtack and Lowe's and Home Depot. So if you're buying a lot of things for your new house, I would highly look into a card like that. Obviously, there's going to be more valuable cards first, like in the Chase and the Amex and Capital One world. But if you are a new homeowner, I would go check out and listen to that episode. I think, you know, the listeners will find a lot of value in that one.
It's a good episode. We're itching to get that card. We have a few more months until we can. But yeah, I've been waiting for that for a while since Built was only rent. But now there's some new exciting updates. I think for a homeowner and renter, like just with everything going on, it's definitely a good time to be getting into this space and just educating yourself on those type of opportunities.
100%, 100%. And it's on my list of cards to get. At the same time, I've got to balance my 524 status and a couple other cards that I'm looking to plan for that's going to help us with our honeymoon. So it's on the list, haven't gotten it yet, but it's likely going to be something I snag before the end of the year or early next year, depending on how some 524 stuff shakes out. But I'd have to make sure I kept my status there, because you never know when a new offer is going to come out, like the Chase Sapphire Reserve for Business. Because my 524 status was good, I was able to get it. So that's why I always like to have that safe space, because you just never know.
It's a good problem to have.
It is. It's a great problem to have. Now, Ross, I want to transition a little bit, because again, another similarity. Now that you've already checked this one off, we're still in the planning phase, but I know you and your wife just got married this year, just had a honeymoon. So first of all, congrats to you guys on that. But I know you've got some data and some information regarding how you were able to utilize points and miles for your wedding and your honeymoon. And I felt like this would be a great time to do a case study in advance of our own wedding and honeymoon, because, well, by the time we get the episode out and do the honeymoon, all of the things probably gonna be 6 months plus from now. So I think for someone newer to the show, or just someone that's been listening in general that may be planning their own wedding, having a case study on how points and miles can be used for their own wedding and honeymoon expenses could be super helpful. So can you help us walk through, in kind of general, then we'll dig in a little bit deeper, your wedding and honeymoon point strategy?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it goes back to kind of, and I love how this episode has gone, because your people are seeing the progression. So it wasn't just, hey, you know, we got married at the end of March, our honeymoon was April, you know, in December of 2024, we started to plan this out. No, this was more of a longer process. So if you don't have, I think what I've learned now is when you do have business expenses, you can start to, right, over time, combine your business points that are earned with your personal points. So just starting to map out from 2022, 2023 with those group trips, right, with expenses that we had, using those and really just starting to save up some of those points, understanding, hey, we're going to go on a nice honeymoon. If we're going far, we want to fly in business class. And also deciding too, like, we still like to travel. So in September of last year, we went to Greece. We didn't pay any points there. We paid all in cash because we wanted to splurge on our honeymoon. So I think it's thinking about those things first. And then we decided, hey, we want to go to Bali and Thailand. So we understood, okay, to get there, Qatar Q Suites is, you get to Doha, then you go to Bangkok, right? And just figuring out where the hubs were there. So it all started out with putting all the travel expenses on my reserve, you know, having my daily expenses on the Capital One venture. And then from there, I also got a welcome offer from one of our real estate properties with the Business Unlimited Inc. with me and a partner, which we actually split down the middle. So that is possible if you do have a business partner or owner. So I got 50K points there. And then from Itinerary Boss, my company was able to get 100,000 points from the welcome offer, which, you know, if you're running a business, you're able to use that on startup costs, whatever that may be for your business. And then from there, just our daily expenses. And then my wife opened up the Sapphire Preferred. So that bonus, which I think at the time was like 75,000 points. I wish it was 100,000, but it's all good. And then as we were mapping this out, so my spend for the Sapphire Reserve and Capital One, as well as the Business Unlimited Inc., that paid for our flights and business. So we had business class both there. And on the way home, we got one business class seat. So one of us had it one leg, one of it had another. And then we were able to get economy. And then we just paid a little extra in cash for extra leg room, because 9 hours and 14 hours without that extra leg room is brutal. So that's kind of the flights. So those came out to right around 400,000 points. And that was cost savings of right below $17,000 in cash. And then with the hotels, we were going to Bali. So we knew they had some Alilas, which I know you've been to. And if you haven't been, if you go to Bali, the Alila portfolio, it's top end luxury. Like, I highly suggest it. The Ubud is amazing. We did pay for cash there just because the cents per point honestly didn't make a lot of sense. And we wanted like the villa, and they only had the, I think it was just the standard room. So we wanted like the Valley View villa. So we paid in cash for that. And then for the Alila Seminyak, we used the Chase Sapphire Preferred bonus, as well as some of the spend for the wedding. And that came out to about $2,700 in savings. It's about 116,000 Chase points for Hyatt. And then we stayed at the Hyatt Regency in Phuket, Thailand, which that was about $650 in savings and about 30,000 points. But how did we strategically outline that, right? I had a Google Doc just where each month, okay, here's the expenses we have for vendors, here's how we're doing it. And that helped us strategize, okay, when does it make the most sense to open up these cards? And then from there, we realized, okay, we're doing our hotel block, one of the hotel blocks at the Kempton, which is an IHG hotel. They also had a 5 free nights, not this one, but last year, that we were able to get that 5 free nights. And we knew we were staying in Bangkok at the Intercontinental. So we got a free night there that we used. We also had our rehearsal dinner that actually ended up, it was in a restaurant that was in there, but we got moved up to, we got like upgraded because there were some last minute mess ups, but we ended up getting right 26 times the points on each dollar spent for a rehearsal dinner, as well as for the suite that we got for two nights. So that netted us about 110,000 points on top of the 5 free nights that we got. And now we're translating those into 4 free nights in the Grand Caymans at the Hotel Indigo for about $3,100. So that's later this year. And so I opened that card. My wife opened up the Hyatt because we knew we were staying at the Alilas, and we're going to get 9 times the points, earn another up to 60,000 points, you know, throughout spending on that welcome offer. And that netted us like right over 400 to almost 450,000 points after the wedding, that now our 2026, right? Our 2025 travel is already paid for, planned. That's just for 2026. So we saved a lot of money. We saved, you know, right over $19,000 on that. Could we have maximized cents per point even better? Sure, but it was our honeymoon and we did pay for cash and splurged at a couple of different places, but it was awesome. And I mean, now we have all these different points, but it's just thinking through too, like, where are you doing a hotel block for listeners? Are you doing your hotel block somewhere? Where are you going to be staying on your honeymoon? And that kind of translates into which card should you open? Are there good bonuses that then you can maximize? Was Grand Cayman on my list last year to go to? Absolutely not. But now that I had 4 free nights and I can save $3,000, yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's a direct flight from Charlotte. So I think it's mapping out those strategies and understanding where you want to go. One other thing too, if you're going somewhere that's competitive, like I marked down 355 or 361 days for when British Airways, you know, when that calendar came out, because we wanted to fly Qatar Q Suites, and we actually drove to Atlanta from Charlotte to fly there. So just those type of strategies to make sure that you do your honeymoon and wedding right is what's going to help you out and maximize your most points.
I love that. And I'm curious, for your wife, when she was your fiance or even your girlfriend before, was she an eager and willing player too? Did it take some coaxing when you're like, hey, I've been in this points and miles and credit card strategy game? Was she hesitant or was she all in from the get-go? What was that experience like? Because I think there's a lot of people that they're listening to the podcast and there's like, yeah, my spouse, my husband, my wife, they're like, ah, I don't know about this. Seems like a little bit of a game, X, Y, and Z, but obviously we know it's not. And that's why ideally one of the reasons why I'm here as well as someone who is a financial advisor to kind of create some legitimacy behind this world, because I have licenses and liability for the things that I say, even though I'm not operating as an advisor or fiduciary in this podcast. But I'm curious, what was your wife's, her experience or her eagerness to be in the P2 world?
Yeah. At first it wasn't, hey, we got to go open up all these cards. It was just showing, you know, here's all the travel that I've done. Here's, you know, all the points I've racked up. She actually started traveling a good amount for work. So she started to realize, oh, I'm getting upgraded on, you know, to first class in American while Ross is back there because he doesn't travel anymore for work. So like those type of things where she started to see a lot of the benefits, right? The loyalty programs and just realizing like, hey, I could maximize these. And once we started to have trips that, you know, we were able to pay for using those and seeing those cost savings, you know, it just comes down to trusting. And obviously, you know, when you have a travel company, it's a little bit easier than if you're just doing it, but it was pretty easy. And it was just, hey, you know, which card do we do? And also going and saying, hey, here's the value we're going to get out of this. And this is what it's going to help us with. And, you know, if someone does feel overwhelmed, not being like, hey, we got to go open 25 cards, right? It's like, no, let's just use these specific ones and figure out what's best for us. It definitely wasn't a hard sell. It was just more a, this is what I'm going to do. This is how, right? If you're overwhelmed with any of the mapping all this out for the wedding, like I'll take care of that. That's my job, right?
Got it. Absolutely get that. And I'm curious, Ross, you mentioned a lot of really cool aspirational places. As you mentioned, I've stayed at the Alila Seminyak, beautiful, beautiful property, flown Qatar Q Suites, amazing experience. I'm curious, what would you say was the biggest win between something like a Q Suites flying experience and the different free nights that you were able to have? Where would you say you felt like your points were most valuable? And I don't mean from a pure cost per point or cents per point value, right? Because probably I would argue the Qatar Q Suites is probably the highest one just off of what I know, the expense of that. But I mean, from an actual, just the experience that you guys had, the value and attribute, whether it's the view from the room, the upgrades, the hotel experience, of all those things you mentioned, what would you say, what you were like, wow, we really got this on points? What would you say?
Q Suites.
Okay.
Q Suites was, right. I mean, obviously the, you know, the 14-hour flight where they're like, hey, here's your pajamas, here's this, do you want us to make your bed? Like, we still laugh at the picture where we're eating a steak dinner with a candle on a white tablecloth. And you're like, how, like, this is crazy. I think Q Suites by far, especially when you're traveling that long, I mean, coming home was rough coming back from Bali, that 30-hour travel day, and then having to drive from Atlanta, like your legs from just sitting in compression, like it's rough. So I think having that, being able to get up, walk around, sleep, especially when you're going 12 hours, that makes a huge difference because you're not just getting there completely jet lagged, right? You've been able to eat. And then once you get to the lounge in Doha, you walk around and you're just like, what is this? This is crazy. This is the size of a mall. So I would say that for sure.
I would agree with you. I was just really curious if you were going to say something different because Q Suites is on a whole other level, which is why it is one of the more aspirational things from points and miles. So highly recommend if anyone has the opportunity to. Absolutely 100%. You have to experience it. I know you've stayed at some pretty amazing places as well, but yes, I mean, that means that from a cents per value standpoint and just an actual, like, this is utterly insane standpoint, Q Suites wins. And so that's awesome. Ross, before we wrap this one up, I'd love to hear. So you talked a little bit about your business, Itinerary Boss, and I know you are a host of a podcast as well. Would love to hear a little bit more about both of those things.
Yeah, for sure. So I started this, I mean, obviously was planning all the group trips, you know, points and miles, really love traveling, really love planning it. Like I mentioned, you know, love seeing, you know, the joy it brought people, you know, after years, you know, guys who had never been west of Pennsylvania, you know, were eating, had fish brought up to them in Croatia, you know, they were just loving those and loving those trips. And then afterwards, you know, hey, that was one of the greatest things ever, right? The memories you create and just enjoyed seeing that. And also how people realizing people can save money and like seeing their facial expressions when business owners realize they can save tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on their spend, just by using this and making minor shifts. That's why I started Itinerary Boss. And I learned everything from investing, real estate investing, traveling, business, health from podcasts since I graduated college. So I was just like, hey, might as well start a podcast, start interviewing friends. You know, that led to just referrals, led to, you know, here we are. You know, I know you're coming on mine here soon. And it's just led to a great networking mechanism. It's a great learning platform. And for me, business owners realized, hey, I was a entrepreneur getting started once, didn't know how to navigate all of this. So being able to help other people as well as people who are established business owners, because a lot of the times they are the most burnt out people, right? They're working so hard and they're not getting just value out of the spend that they're doing. So, I mean, travel's brought me a lot of, you know, different just positives from a health, wellness, business standpoint, relationships. So it's really just kind of educating people on, hey, here's how you really can use your spend to go make great memories with your wife, with your kids, with family, whatever that may be. That's the really nice part about it. And then just from the business standpoint, right? I work, like I mentioned, with entrepreneurs and business owners on just helping build out a plan, whether it's just a simple, hey, get started with this card, whether it's, hey, you know, make this minor shift, or whether it's, hey, we're going to sit down and we're really going to map out the next year to two of where do you want to go? How are you spending today? And this is our strategy that's in place and showing those cost savings of what I mentioned. So yeah, it's been fun and I love it.
That's awesome. Now, Ross, I know that this is a really broad question because everyone has specific honed in, you know, needs, travel goals, et cetera, but for someone who's listening, who's just getting started in the points and miles world, where would you tell them to focus first? Just to kind of simplify. I know we talked a lot about a lot of different things, a lot of different strategies today, but there are people of all skill levels when it comes to points and miles who listen to this show. For someone who's just getting started and is trying to unpack and digest all the different things we talked about, whether it's wedding planning, real estate, group travel, travel through work, how would you simplify it and tell someone where to focus first?
Yeah, I know you'll like this one. Just focus on budgeting. I think that is the number one thing is like, if you have any sort of credit card debt, focus on that first. And then from there, right, educating yourself on, okay, what makes the most sense for me, whether it's credit score and what can I get? And then also, what do I feel comfortable with my daily expenses? You know, where am I trying to go? I think that's the biggest thing. And then from there, you can tell it didn't happen overnight. This is 10 years in the making, right? It compounds and you make the mistakes. But I think just from getting started, start there. And then from there, do what's most important to you. Don't worry about the 25 cents per point, that type of stuff, right? Like I could have maximized more on my honeymoon, but instead we did what we wanted to do and we're happy about it. So I think that would be kind of the biggest thing is just to keep it simple and start there. And then over time, again, you're going to listen to different platforms and you're going to learn from different people and take what strategies, you know, of what's most important to you and your family or whoever you're traveling with.
Absolutely, Ross. Where can the listeners follow you, follow your journey? And I know you mentioned your podcast. We're talking about your podcast. Can you also mention the name of that again?
Yeah, it's World Travel Made Easy. And that's on Spotify, Apple, YouTube. We put out one guest interview every Wednesday. And then we also have two solo episodes, one on Tuesdays that's solely focused on points and miles, one Thursday where we do more of a destination deep dive of places we've gone. And then I do a lot of my writing and content on LinkedIn. So if you like to get laughs, if you like to learn, I'm not as good as DeAndre with my drone. I unfortunately lost it when I was in Santorini. So I kind of gave up on that. I do put out content on Instagram. It's definitely not as good as a lot of people on Instagram. So a lot of business owners are on LinkedIn. So that's where a lot of people connect with me. So yeah, that would be a great place. And we have, if you're a business owner, if you want to just connect, we have a free 30-minute call we do to help get you started. Or if you just want to chat anything travel, we're here to help.
Tragic story. We'll hear that one offline. I'm very curious. I've been flying drones for years and so far haven't lost one, knock on wood. So awesome, Ross. This has been fantastic. We'll link to everything that you just mentioned in the show notes as well. Couple last questions before we wrap this one up. First, always like to ask, who else should we have next on the show that you think the listeners could find some value from?
Yeah, so I would say there's a couple because all these people will align and they bring different strategies. So Robin Sachs Frankel, she's great. She writes for Fortune. She focuses on a lot of family trips and making it, you know, attainable. So how do you do it with four kids when they're in school on more of a limited budget? Dave Grossman, he's the CEO of Miles Talk and Your Best Credit Cards. He's a wealth of knowledge. He speaks at a lot of the bigger events. So would highly suggest connecting with them. And obviously I'll make the connection for you. But yeah, they'll be two great guests that have come on mine that'll provide a lot of value for your audience.
Awesome. I love that. Ross, any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
No, man. Congrats on the upcoming bachelor party and congrats on the upcoming wedding. It's fun and enjoy it. And I know you guys' honeymoon is going to be awesome. So just, enjoy the process.
I will absolutely do that. Absolutely appreciate that. Thank you so much. And thank you, more importantly, for being on the show today. Been an excellent wealth of knowledge. I think we hit on a few different areas, which were fantastic, from how to embrace points and miles, or level up, I should say, from a corporate or work travel standpoint, where real estate, whether you're a real estate investor or first-time home buyer, how that can help with the points and miles standpoint. And then, of course, I think the case study with how you and your wife were able to use card strategy and a point strategy through the normal expenses of just having a wedding to turn that into having an incredible honeymoon with outsized value with lower out-of-pocket expense. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, DeAndre. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. For the listeners out there, please make sure to connect with Ross. And as always, if you enjoyed this episode today, be sure to follow us on all the social media channels, sign up for our newsletter. We have the private Facebook group. You guys know the drill. Also, don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, tell a friend, share this out there. If you know someone that's getting married soon, someone that's looking at buying their first house, or a real estate investor, or a business owner that's not capitalizing on their points and should connect with Ross, be sure to pass this one along. And as always, we will catch you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Travel doesn't just happen when you get on a plane. I'm Pauline Frommer, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, we explore not just where to go, but how to bring travel into your everyday life through books, shows, and stories that shift your perspective, plus insights on smart destinations, timely trends, and interviews with the people shaping the way we explore. Find us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or voyescape.com.